Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Ed.
And my name is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on with Shepherd Staff these days?
Well, you know, Ed, recently we ran a podcast talking about the importance of pre-field missionary training, and we were talking with Brian Gibson from Train International. And we've been really blessed to find out that for the first time, a couple of Shepherd Staff missionaries, prior to going to the field, are going to be going through that Train International training.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that their church and those missionaries are taking the time and, you know, some finances too, to invest in their time on the field.
Yeah, and as part of our whole, vision of making sure that churches send well, part of sending someone well is ensuring that they're equipped and trained for the field before they go, and this is that being fleshed out.
Yeah, I sure enjoyed when we spoke with Brian. He said that, you know, when you take the time to invest in your pre-field training, what happens is you remain longer, but you remain more effective also in your time on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great concept to grasp. Longevity and effectiveness really do hinge on pre-field preparation. So we're blessed that that's actually happening right now.
Yeah, amen. I look forward to more of the people that we have the honor to facilitate going and going through that preparation with Train.
I do too.
Well, we're going to continue, sort of wrestling with the missionary furlough. And as we spoke of why we take a furlough in an earlier podcast, we want to now ask really, what are we supposed to accomplish, or what are missionaries to accomplish on a furlough?
Yeah, and I think it's a great question. There needs to be intentionality when you take a break from the field and come back to the States. And so, Ed, I know you've given a lot of thought to this, and you've actually broken it down to a degree. What do you think? What is the missionary? What should they be trying to accomplish when they come back on a furlough?
Well, what I did, Jeff, is I looked at Acts chapter 14 and 15, and there we really have more of a description than a prescription regarding what missionaries should do in our furlough. Of course, that's the time where Paul and Barnabas are coming back from their first missionary journey, and we're going to see some of the things that they accomplished when they came back and were there at Antioch and actually at Jerusalem also. And we get to kind of examine what they did when they were back from their missionary trip.
Yeah, and you know, Ed, I'd like to just kind of reemphasize that as we go through what we're going to discuss, that in Acts 14 and 15, you know, something is described there that took place. It doesn't necessarily mean this is the way it has to happen.
That's right.
These aren't essential. This isn't doctrine if you don't do it this way. It's more descriptive than prescriptive. And so with that in mind, what are those five areas?
Well, we came up with five areas, and the first is to report, and this is to bring back the facts. If you look at Acts 14:27, as the church gathered together, they reported that all God had done with them, and that he'd opened the door of faith to the Gentiles.
Okay, so unpack that a little bit more.
Well, I believe that's a more of a formal situation where the missionary reports back maybe to the church committee or maybe the elders. Or, you know, every church can be a little different in this area. And there's a reporting back, hey, you sent me to do this thing, and here's what happened. You know, just one verse before there in 14:26 of Acts, it says they accomplished everything they were sent to do. And what an honor for a missionary to come back and say, well, you know, church, you sent us to accomplish ABC, to establish a clinic, to put wells in and build relationships among churches, or whatever you were sent to do, and to come back and say, it's done.
Yeah, exactly. And in a sense, what it's doing is, in one of the previous podcasts, we talked about, you know, the call to be a missionary, that God set Paul and Barnabas for the work that he called them to do.
Well,
there
said.
Was a task. And so this whole reporting angle of a furlough is, you know, you're basically saying to those that sent you, hey, we've gone, this is the task, these are the tasks that we've accomplished, this is what we've been able to do by the grace of God. And it is really, in a sense, reporting on the facts. It's something measurable that you can report to somebody else.
Yeah, and it could be an official written report, it could be some sort of standing before the committee, but I doubt it needs to be so formal and so intimidating as much as more conversational, relational, sharing what's happening.
Yeah, and I think, and it's hard. Sometimes missionaries don't think that way because the culture they're in doesn't really navigate according to measurable metrics.
Right.
But the reality of it is, when you're reporting back to those that sent you in the States, you need to be able to give them some kind of concrete measuring device to say what you've done while you've been out there.
Well, on the far end of the scale, you and I had a conversation with a home church keepers, and that's the kind of a missions pastor at one of the churches that we're honored to serve. And he mentioned that he has to kind of make sure that some people are not just doing life on the field. He wants to see that there's fruit from the work that they've been sent to do and the investment that church has made in people, in finances, in their time.
Yeah, and that's a tricky balance to walk because as Americans, we're very task-oriented. Yeah. Most of the rest of the world is relational. So on the one hand, you want more than just life on, you want missionaries to live life on the field, but right. You also want them to accomplish something that's for the kingdom of God and to be able to report and describe what it is they've done.
Yeah, it's sort of a stewardship issue, both on the part of the church, the home church that sent them, and then, of course, the missionary.
Absolutely.
Well, let's move on to, this idea that they stayed a long time with the disciples. And the idea is that there was connection. So we're moving from reporting to connecting. And it says that Paul and Barnabas, they stayed. And you and I took the time to actually look this up in Greek and said, hey, how's this work? And the idea of tarrying, remaining, abiding there with those disciples there in Antioch.
Yeah, and I think that the important component of that is that they were present with other believers, and they were present in a relational way.
Yeah,
not just present, sort of standoffish, but in some way there was interaction taking place, communication-wise, personality-wise, relational-wise. There was certainly the sharing of food,
absolutely,
all of those other things. That's crucial.
Yeah, and I think, you start off in the beginning of this podcast by saying, it's hard to build hard doctrine on these things because it's just a short statement. They stayed. But I'm with you. That concept there was a relationship built, and they spent time in their home church community getting to know them. Maybe in today's language, we might say they went to the small groups, and they went to the women's studies, and they went to the men's studies, and their children were involved in the youth ministry and all those sort of things. There was sort of a tying in with them. Maybe it was time for them to work with their practical care team and build up their care team and such as that.
Yeah, and one of the things that we battle today as Americans with social media and technology the way it is people thinking, well, hey, these people already know what's going on. I send out a newsletter once a week. I post on my Facebook page. I do this. That's not what this word is talking about.
No.
This word is talking about presence, physical presence with someone else, and this sharing of life together and meals and communication and honesty and those kind of things.
Yeah, I like that very much. Well, let's move on from that connection. And they testified, and this is a little different than the reporting. Testifying is an idea of sharing with the greater body of Christ what God is doing in and through those missionaries on the field.
Yeah, and to me, the distinction between testifying and reporting is when you're reporting, you're telling about what specifically, what the tasks were that got done, what was accomplished. When you're testifying, you're talking about what that produced. Not just what we did, but what God produced because of what we did. And it'll almost always involve transforming people's lives, transforming people's perspective. Testifying always focuses people back towards God and His ability to transform lives.
Yeah, there at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas were sent on a mission, a short-term mission, maybe we could say, to go to Jerusalem while they were back at Antioch. And as they're going towards Jerusalem, it seems like they pass through Phoenicia and Samaria, and they describe the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. There's a sense of testifying to all that God was doing in and through them. And as they're testifying of this, they're sharing their lives. They're sharing what's going on and how the ministry and how these churches are then involved with the ministry as Paul and Barnabas were out.
Yeah, and I think based on that verse that you just read there in Acts 15:3, they describe the conversion of the Gentiles, which caused joy for all the brethren. It's again that difference between reporting, saying, hey, we preach the gospel to Gentiles. That's reporting. Testifying is, let me tell you how God converted them through the preaching of His gospel. Let me tell you how lives were changed. And that is what provokes joy in people. Not the actual number of times you preach the gospel, but the impact of the gospel.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And what I like about that passage also, it gives us the idea that they didn't only go to Antioch. I think connecting with your home church is of utmost importance. I never want to take away from that. But there was opportunity for them to share the wonderful works of God in other places. And I think all missionaries want to accomplish that when they're back on their furlough.
Lots and lots of opportunities to talk about what you've seen God do on the mission field is really good for those that listen to you talking about it, but it's also good for you to be able to share it.
And we will talk about this in future podcasts, how to be able to share it other churches. But, you know, as you come on furlough, start contacting those churches early and try to set up appointments and ask if, you know, they would like you to serve them in any way, maybe teach a men's ministry or maybe have a Sunday fill-in or whatever the case may be. That's the way this begins to happen, is you're not only connecting with your home church, you're also connecting with those churches in the community around you.
Yeah, you know, Ed, as I thought about this, it's almost, you know, the idea of what used to be called, like we used to say, it's testimony time.
Yeah.
And in testimony time, what happens is somebody talks about what God's shown them, what God's done in their lives, some evidence that God was at work recently, and now they're trying to describe it to other people. And testimonies build people up. They inspire faith. They inspire hope. And people need to hear that kind of stuff. Missionaries are the perfect people to talk about those kind of things and inspire people here.
Yeah, and going out to the broader body like that is just a great blessing for all involved. Now, let's move on to the ministry that they did. And Acts 15:25, it says, you know, these two were sent to Jerusalem with a task. They were sent kind of on a short-term mission to Jerusalem to accomplish something on behalf of the church there at Antioch. And what's interesting is during this time, not only did they go on this mission, this is when most scholars believe that Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians. So there was ministry going on. Paul was writing a letter back to the church at Galatia. There's a task that they've been given from the church at Antioch as you know, very competent servants of the Lord. I'm sure that the church at Antioch is very glad to send Paul and Barnabas because these are quality guys. And so there's work being done, not just coming back and relaxing.
Yeah, and I think that's an important truth to keep in mind, that on the one hand, the furlough should have planned times for rest, but the missionary, as every believer, is a servant. And so finding those opportunities to serve at your home church, to serve the different ministries of your home church, servanthood should be sort of a hallmark of any Christian, but especially a missionary. And it keeps the missionary in balance when he's not just being, in a sense, catered to all the time while he's here, but he's been given opportunities to serve.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity because whether we like it or not, people are watching the missionary.
Yes.
And not to do it because they're watching you, but there is some level that you're living out Christ's plan for the individual members of the church. And you can show that you don't only care about what's going on in the field, you care about your home church.
Yeah, and I mean, really, it kind of goes back to even the idea of, which I think we've talked about at least on more than one podcast, the whole idea that, you know, with when it comes to somebody feeling called to be a missionary, hey, if you're not doing it here, you're not going to do it over there. And so when you come back from the field as a missionary, if people, you know you're out there as a missionary and that you're serving the Lord out there, and you come back here on furlough and you're not serving at all during your time here, they're going to wonder, hey, if he's not serving here, how do we know he's really serving over there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to our final point that needs to be accomplished while on furlough, and that is a recommissioning. And that's the idea of the missionary was commissioned to go out and accomplish something, the work that they were set apart for, but now there needs to be that sort of confirmation, recommissioning by the church, by the leaders of the church particularly, to send them back out to do what they're called to do.
Yeah, and you know, this is really important that missionaries that are back on furlough, when they get ready to head back to the field, that there's, you know, maybe it's not to the same level of intensity, but there's clearly a recognition by everybody, and especially on their part, that they're being recommissioned, that God has the next phase in mind for them out on the field, and they need the body to acknowledge that calling again, to get behind them again, because God wants to do further things through them out on the field. That recommissioning concept is crucial for missionary success when they come back on the field after their furlough.
Yeah, it's recorded that they were commended to the grace of God when they originally went. But then as Paul goes out, now, of course, if you know your scriptures well, you know there's an awkward moment there between Paul and Barnabas, so now it's going to be Paul and Silas going out. But when Paul and Silas go back out to the mission field, there's another recommissioning. They were again commended to the grace of God to go do the work that they were set apart to do.
And I think that's important. Culturally, especially for Americans, where so much of what we do, we're navigating by individualism and independence. The act of sending a missionary is a communal act. It's not just an individual act, and a public recommissioning of a missionary back to his work on the field, I think is essential for Americans to see us doing that, and obviously very good for the missionary to have been acknowledged by the group to go back to the work God's called him to.
Yeah, you know, I had the honor of serving among a group of tribes, 42 tribes in Kenya. And as our church back here in America came and visited a few times, they began calling themselves the Nexus tribe. Their name of the church was Nexus. And so they got that communal sense, and they would often say, Ed and Kelly are our representatives of our tribe there in Kenya. There was a sense of community among that, a sense of bonding, and they would recommission, resend us. And it was an important moment. Here's what it also does for the missionary. You know that you are sent from a group. You're not by yourself, and you're now accountable to your community. You're accountable to your tribe.
Yeah, and even, you know, from the angle, again, culturally, that because you're accountable to your tribe, your actions, your behavior doesn't just reflect on you. It reflects on the tribe that your identity comes from. You can bring honor to your tribe, or maybe you'll do something that actually brings shame to your tribe, which is a whole nother podcast subject.
Yeah, we don't want to open that box now because we want to end this pretty soon.
Yes, yes.
Well, Jeff, any final thoughts?
No, I just think that if you keep in mind that what's being described there is that it's a description, it's not a prescription.
Yeah,
but there's wisdom. There's a reason why God recorded what's in the scripture. So I think to look at it and to take it seriously and to extract principles and apply them, I think all of that is very helpful. And if we do that in the same sense that we see what it produced in the book of Acts as these things are described, it may produce the same things in the ministries that God's called us to do here today.
Yeah, well said. I like that you know, we're extrapolating out some ideas that we saw Paul and Barnabas accomplish, but they're not necessarily hard facts that say we must accomplish them, but they are good goals for us to hit.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Facilitating the Mission. We hope to hear back from you. Please feel free to drop us a line on Facebook or an email. We'd love to hear what you're thinking. We'd love to even have suggestions for future podcasts. We're beginning to get some traction in this podcast, meaning we're getting a few hits, we're getting a few downloads, and it's exciting. But we don't hear so much from you, and we sure would like to. So God bless you.